Good morning. My name is Morgan, and I am a member of the University United Methodist Church. And whatever brings you here, whether it's custom, crisis, curiosity, know that you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. For anyone who's new, we have a brochure for our newcomers that are in the back of the sanctuary, and I hope that our welcome team has found you to give you one. And on this yellow slip, which you can find in your bulletin, on one side you can fill out your name and address and contact if it's new and put it in the offering plate. And on the second side is if you have a prayer request, you can fill it in and it will be read aloud during prayer time. In your bulletin, it is the abbreviated order of worship, and then it will also appear on the screen. There is also a QR code on the back and on the bottom, so if you want to follow along on a smartphone or device, you can do that as well. Restrooms and childcare are through this door, and in the gathering room after the service, through those same doors, we can gather for some conversation. Then we also have a safe sanctuary policy, which means that all children should be accompanied by an adult at all times. I also want to just highlight a few things that are in your bulletin and some that are not. So the first one is our Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday, March 6th. At 7 p.m. there will be a worship service. And then also there will be conversation following this worship right in the sanctuary, so anyone who wants to join in can come to the front about the special general conference. The next is the Holy Land Tour informational meeting, which will be Tuesday, March 5th at 7 p.m. at the Irwin First Methodist Church. And then also on the back of the bulletin, I just wanted to point out the Lenten study that will be taking place, so you can feel free to check that out.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. I am the pastor here at University United Methodist Church, and I'm honored to say this every single week. So proud to be a part of this church. As I scurry around this morning, that video reminded me that we need to sometimes sit still with the unhurried God. We spend too much time being driven rather than drawn in. And we need to connect with our inherent creativity to make this world a better place. Please join the choir in the responses of our theme song that we will be singing.
In the world of the driven, let your love be a given. To imagine, to dream, to create, to redeem, for the sake of the living.
Something grossly overlooked in the creative process is a place of effortlessness and play. In the story of creation, God rested, and this was very good as well. Staying too focused on deadlines and how every moment can be productive robs us of an important feature of what it means to be humans made in the image of God: rhythm. Pushing through is unsustainable, and creativity suffers if we work constantly. Celebration is necessary along the journey. God's creativity is ongoing. So while the story said God was finished and then rested, really it was simply a pause to reflect, to observe, to celebrate, and then God continued God's creative work among us and with us.
In the world of the driven, let your love be a given. To imagine, to dream, to create, to redeem, for the sake of the living.
Will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in the unison call to worship? Let us pray together. Active and yet restful God, your heart is our heart. Your rhythm is our rhythm. Open us to the place of rest and celebration in the rhythm of our lives. Draw us into delight. Give us the courage to breathe deeply. Amen. It does take courage sometimes to take time for self-care. Please remain standing and join me in singing our opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Why can't we seem to keep up our creativity? Why do we get so burned out? Researcher and author Brené Brown says, "It takes courage to say yes to rest and play in a culture where exhaustion is seen as a status symbol. Sometimes the hidden or not so hidden expectations, even and especially the ones we put on ourselves, drown out our own gut feeling that it is time to take a break. Hear the good news. God's love does not depend on your productivity. And your energy for the work of helping to serve the needs of the world is fed when you dare to give yourself what you need as well. You are beloved. Rest and celebrate." Our greeting and passing of the peace today, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and give them this assurance. You are enough. When we pass the peace, you can say, "Peace be with you," and or "You are enough." And when you hear the music, it's time to return to your seats and for the children to come forward for the children's moment. Greet each other with the peace of Christ. Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable? Today. Are you good? Yeah. All right. So we have this wonderful setup up here. We have our easel and our chalk. Did you all play with chalk last week? Yeah? No? Yes? Some of us did. Some of us didn't. We have all this set up because this last few weeks we've been looking to all of you to inspire us to be creative. So in that, we are so grateful that you have shown us how to be creative with your chalk and with your clay and with your, something tape. I can't think of what it's called, wazi tape or something. All these different ways that you have shown us how to be creative. And I forgot my book. Well, I'll read it next time. So on the last day, God rested. So on the seventh day, God rested. So this week, we're not going to do a really crazy project. We're just going to color, because sometimes coloring is restful. Does anyone here find it restful to just color? You do? Do you like to just color? Is it restful? Great. So we have three different designs here, and they're down at the table down there as well. And there's colored pencils, and there's crayons, and other things too, so that you can color them and just rest and color, and when you're done you go sit with whoever brought you, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do is each time you color a space on the page, pray for someone or something, or thank God for someone or something. So if you're coloring like this one and you color this circle, maybe you can pray for your mom or your dad or something like that, okay? Oh, thank you. Will you pray with me before we leave this place? I'm so grateful for all that you have shown us. You know, the adults have been enjoying seeing all of your creativity as they leave the sanctuary, so I'm grateful for that. And there's been really some awesome creativity from the adults inspired by you. And so we begin Lent next week. So it'll be a whole nother thing. We won't have this up here. All right, will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful for the creativity of children. We are grateful for all they give us and the way that they are not afraid to be creative and dream. So let them continue to inspire us throughout our days. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up. And you can either take one of these or take one of the coloring sheets that are down there and begin your coloring. And like I said, when you're done, you can go sit with whoever brought you. And from here, we are so grateful to be hearing. Oh, we forgot to pick up the bags. Jim reminded me. Okay, I'll get one of the kids to pick up the bags right now. Sorry. But we are so grateful because now we get to hear the awesome choir. Today's imaginative word reading is Take It In by Marcia McPhee. It is time to take it in. Take in the beauty. Take in the wonder. Take in the consequences. Take in the meaning. It is time when work has worn us, before it's torn us, before we quit, it is time. Take it in to our hearts, our lives, our longing. Take it in and rock it, love it, let it go. All this making, creating, anticipating, it is time. It takes time. So now is the time to rest.
Good morning. This week's scripture comes from the Ten Commandments. God has given the Hebrew people rules to live by, and Sabbath rest was one of those rules. I am reading from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Here are these words. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Valuing our own time and each person's time can lead to unanticipated blessings. Would you please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing, "There is now a new creation," a new hymn sung to a familiar tune, the tune of "Child of Blessing, Child of Promise." What does it mean for God's kingdom, a place where all are kin or family, to come on earth as it is in heaven? We have a video from Holly this morning, and we've seen it before, but it's really good because this congregation is changing lives.
When Seth and I were kids, we grew up in religious families that were attending very conservative churches, and we really disliked their vocal condemnation of certain groups of people and people who had certain lived experiences. And so as adults, we hadn't really sought out a church of any kind. And then we became foster parents. And after our first little one, who was 4, was with us for a little while, we realized that we didn't just want to provide kids with a safe and loving home, we also wanted to have them experience being part of a safe and loving community. So we decided we were going to join a church, and I tried UUMC first because I drove past here all the time on the way to daycare, and I always noticed the rainbow banner on the front of the church that said, "All are welcome." And I figured if a church was openly inviting LGBTQ people who are so often alienated from Christian churches, that was a good sign. On our first Sunday here, we knew within about 15 minutes that we were in the right place. Everyone was so warm and so welcoming. People made a point of coming over to us and introducing themselves and remembering our names. It was such a great atmosphere. And then one of the other things that we loved was how children are made part of this community. I loved that there was a part of worship that was just for kids. I loved that children were welcome to remain in the sanctuary, even if they were a little bit noisy, and there were rocking chairs in the back of the church for parents who had young kids. And another thing that was really important to us was to find a church that was doing good work in the community. The foster families that we work with, we see how much they struggle just to get their basic needs met, needs that they have to get met in order to get their kids back. No one should have to struggle that hard for basic needs. And UUMC is, of course, doing amazing work in this community with outreach and services and resources, not just to people who are low income, but to other communities that are very vulnerable. So every time I walk in this church to this day, I always think, yeah, this feels like home.
You are changing lives just by being you, and we need to continue to just be us and share in this beautiful thing, this, in God's love. So let us remember that as we do our work, we are changing lives. And I'm going to put in my little plug. If your life has been changed because of this place, I invite you to come talk to me so that I can ask you this question and you can share with the whole congregation how this community has changed your life. So this morning, I have the fun task of talking about rest. It's an odd thing to talk about rest after our denomination has made a decision to exclude a whole group of people that we love and that God loves. So I was thinking about how I needed to talk about rest this week, and I was doing great resting on my vacation, and then this happened. And then my feelings started to come. And here I am, figuring out how to talk about rest. How do we rest when we want to cry and scream and yell and fight? But maybe we need the rest. Have you ever had a fight with someone and knew if you didn't walk away and pray about what was going on, you were going to say something you regretted? Yeah. Maybe we need to rest because we all need some time to feel and we all need some time to reflect. A prayer for when you just can't. God, who is with us when we have no words. Amen. But maybe we need the rest because we all need to feel and reflect. Now, this rest might take more than one literal day. Rest in feelings and reflecting in prayer, recouping, takes as long as we need. Rest is good. In Exodus, we hear from God the Ten Commandments. We are told we have 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and God remembered the hardship of God's beloved people. In fact, God began the commandments by saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." In the Ten Commandments, God gives direction for a more balanced life. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest for everyone, every creature. How good are we at this? Are we good at this or not so good? Some are not so good, some are pretty good. This mirrors the activity of God's creation in the world, God's creation of the world in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. On the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. God hallowed it. Therefore, the rest from work is the first thing sacred. The Sabbath commemorates God's rest, functions as a sign for the covenant, and allows Israel to be refreshed by its sacred time. This particular Israelite practice is hidden in the structure of creation. Keep, observe, hallow the Sabbath. By observing the Sabbath, one does what God does. The Sabbath for most Christians means Sunday, but I am personally giving you, all of you, permission to call a Sabbath day any day you need sacred rest. Because God said, rest is good. Why do we rest? How did God know we needed the balance of days of work and days of rest? We rest and recoup because after the seventh day of rest, we have another day, right? We have Monday through Sunday. Sunday is the seventh day, but what happens on the next day after Sunday? There's another day. It's day one. We have the first day again. We rest and recoup so we are ready to get to work on day one. We are ready to seek justice and walk humbly with our God. So, take time to rest so you are ready for the work that is to come. Amen. As we continue our time of mindfulness and reflect on where you might look for Sabbath rest, please join me now in singing the call to prayer, I Dream of a Church. The ushers will collect your yellow prayer request slips to be read aloud.
Oh God, fill our hearts. Reach out in welcome. Make us to see your vision once more. Let's dream of a world where our hands are your hands. We offer ourselves. Oh God, make it so. Make it so, make it so. We pray for the day, make it so. We dream of a world where love reigns among us and your will is done.
As we continue our time of prayer, we'll have a period of silent prayer followed by a short prayer, and then we will move forward with the Lord's Prayer. Let us begin our time of prayer. God of compassion and love, we come to you today with so many things on our hearts. We have physical needs and ailments and struggle. We have emotional things weighing on our hearts and on our minds, and sometimes our minds race so much that all we need is you and to remember that we need rest. And we come to you today also in need of spiritual healing. Healing not only in our own personal lives, but in the life of our global church. Be with each of us today and everyone not with us today, that they might know that they are loved, that they are loved by God and by each one of us, and that your love sustains all things. It goes beyond rules that a church makes or a denomination makes, because you are God. God is bigger than anything that humanity might create or destroy. Be with each of us so that we might know that we each are a beloved child of God, and that we, each of us, are enough. And as we sang that song, I Dream of a Church, I pray that in this world we might know heaven on earth as you have meant it to be, and to make it so, Holy God. Will you join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us? Creator God, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We come now to our time of Holy Communion. During this liturgy, we will have times of music. And so as you hear the music, you can look up at the screen and see the image. You can close your eyes and just take it in. You can hum along or sing along if you know the song. But know that this is just a time within our communion time of reflection. All right, and so however that feels right to you, please follow your heart. At this time of turmoil and brokenness in our church, as well as our world, we remember that Jesus came for the broken, ate with the broken, and offered wholeness to all. We begin our time of communion listening to Broken Alleluia by Mendisa.
You and give you thanks, even when.
Beloved, though we may not feel it, the Lord be with you. Beloved, though our hearts are heavy, lift up your hearts. Let us pray. God, when the world was void and chaos moved over the face of the waters, you were there. God, when nothing felt right, when nothing felt clear, when all seemed in great disarray, you were there. God, when the way through the wilderness seemed indiscernible, you were there. Even now, God, when the pain of justice denied and voices unheard, both queer and straight, are too great for words to express, you are still there. God, in the moment when we hear words that deny our full humanity, cleverly disguised in the rhetoric of unity, even then, you are there. You share our pain and feel our frustration. You see our fists raised in the air in anger and our cries for true liberty, and through all of it, you are there. And so with all of us here on earth and with the cries of the saints above, we join together in this broken alleluia, which you will never turn away.
Oh, Father, you have given much more than I deserve. And I have felt your hand of blessing on me at every turn. How could I doubt your goodness, your wisdom, your grace? Oh Lord, hear my heart.
Holy God, your desire to be with us, even in our brokenness, to help us feel that we are never alone, was evident in the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy One you sent into our broken world to live among us. Jesus showed us through acts of love and compassion that you were still with us. Jesus ate with the despised and disposed. He befriended the outcast and the outliers, and he walked with those who journeyed alone and were left on the side of the road. Jesus taught us that the kingdom of heaven is not made up of plans or votes or amendments, but the kingdom of heaven is like a wild mustard seed that no one can stop and no institution can control. Jesus taught us that love is bigger than this moment and stronger than any force. Even death can try to separate us from your love, gracious. Even death that can try to separate us from your love, gracious God. Jesus' message of radical inclusion and generous love was a threat to the powers around him. And because of this, Jesus was falsely accused, arrested, tortured, and put to death. On the night of his betrayal and arrest, Jesus gathered with his friends, women and men alike, and shared with them this special meal we now celebrate. He took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. and he gave it to his disciples. Take, eat. This is my body, broken and given for you and for the world. And he took the cup also, and after giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant made in my blood. Jesus felt in every fiber of his being our pain, our betrayal, and the cost of love, which eventually led him to the cross. And so because of these mighty acts of love, we give thanks and proclaim what we can only see through faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Spirit on these broken pieces of bread and this fragile cup. Pour out your spirit on this broken moment of uncertainty. Pour out your spirit and envelop our torn hearts with your healing touch so that we can become wounded healers for a broken world. Make us one with you. Make us one with each other. Not because we have to, not out of a vote, not because we don't want to upset each other, but make us one because we truly see each other for who we are and who you have made us to be. Your holy church, exquisitely, beautifully, and mutually interdependent. And now, beloved children of God, remember these words from the 8th chapter of Romans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So briefly as to how we will receive Holy Communion today, we'll have two stations here. We'll have bread first. You pick up the bread, and then you'll have a choice. The bread is gluten-free only. And then a big cup. You can dip the bread and receive Holy Communion that way if you'd like to receive it by intinction, or you can eat the bread right away and then take the little cup and drink the cup, and that is grape juice, only grape juice. And then if you take the cup, there's a basket. If you would like a few moments of time to reflect and pray, please know that you can kneel at the communion rail anywhere up here for as long as you feel the Spirit leads you. And then over here will be the same. Bread, two cups, and then the basket, and then you'll exit out that way and come back to sit. So person that will give you the bread will say the bread of life, and your response can be amen or thanks be to God. And the cup will say cup of the new covenant, and again you can say amen or thanks be to God. And then this one around that way. Okay, I think I got everything. So as you come forward, our ushers will invite you pew by pew, but as you come forward, we're going to begin by listening to the end. What? Oh, yeah, they'll come forward. Okay, we'll just have the communion servers come forward as I finish saying this. We will listen to the end of this song by Mandisa, Broken Alleluia, as we get ready here. So please just sit and reflect on the end of this song. I lift my voice, your Spirit moves.
Committed Christians have been serving this community at this place for 150 years, and you are now a part of that living tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way that we build towards Jesus' vision of a peaceable kingdom for all God's people. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips in the plate as the ushers collect the offering. And Dennis plays, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me."
Christ, to whom all things are made, join seen and unseen in their praise, of one who both sustains, who goes before in justice reigns.
Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication. We pray for vision to recognize the creative spirits within our hearts and minds. We see all the possibilities present here in this place and in this people. We refuse to accept the way it's always been. Dreaming, visioning, listening, planning, acting, and resisting. Make God's kingdom come here in this place and to be fully present and active in the world into which we now go. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing hymn number 620, One Body, One Bread, One Body.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing.
blessing which we bless. And we, the many, throughout the earth, are all one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. And one they all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, the many, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Grain for the field, scattered and grown, gathered for one, for all. Bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless, and we,
just a reminder, we have a conversation in here after worship if you'd like to talk more about the special general sessions. I know that there's snacks in the back if you want to get a snack first. And I look forward to celebrating Lent with you, and it begins Wednesday. So please join us on Wednesday at 7. And as we leave this place, one body, may you see the unfolding of each day as an opportunity to be a co-creator with God. As a Jesus follower, may you feel his company leading you toward creating more kindness, more justice, and mercy. May you know the nudge of the creative spirit within, making belief in all you are and all you do. Amen.